Let's read these verses again from Mark chapter 12. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, how much left over did this woman have after she gave her two mites into the treasury? She had nothing. She had nothing left in her account. Now, the Lord's assessment was that she gave the largest gift. If somebody puts a dollar back in that box, or $2, and somebody else puts in $10,000, which gift is the largest? Well, it depends on what the motive is. It's that simple. It depends on what the motive is. It depends on what they had left after the gift. Now, I heard a preacher say this. This scripture teaches that God doesn't so much see what you give, but what you have left after the gift. How does it make you feel? Guilty. It was supposed to do that. But that is an abuse of what this passage of Scripture is actually teaching. If that's all I get out of this passage, I have missed it all together. Now, this passage of Scripture is a beautiful portrait, a beautiful illustration of saving faith. And I hope the Lord will be pleased to teach each one of us this. Now, the Lord does not give this inspiration to Mark and Luke in order to scold us about our giving. He doesn't give this passage of Scripture to make us feel guilty about how much money we have left in our bank account. This is given to teach us the gospel. This woman cast in all her what? Living. And what was she left with? Utter dependence on charity. That's it. Utter dependence on charity. Now, many that were rich cast in much, the scripture says. Remember, the Lord was beholding how. The Lord was watching this. He was beholding how they gave. And many that were rich cast in much. Now, there's obviously something about giving that's taught in this passage of Scripture, and giving is very important. I wouldn't in any way want to discountenance that. Somebody says, do believers have to be taught to give, or do they give naturally? Yes. Both of those are true. But Henry Mahan wrote a tract entitled Nine Bible Words About Giving. And this was such a blessing to me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it in the bulletin next week. I ran across it and I thought, this is so good. But he gives nine Bible words with regard to giving. And the first word is grace. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Giving's a grace, isn't it? It's just as much a gift of grace as faith is a gift of grace. What a gift of grace if the Lord enables you and I to give willingly. What a grace. The second word is love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, I speak not by commandment, by the occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. If you love somebody, you give. It's that simple. If you love somebody, you enjoy giving to them. It's a love issue. It's a trust issue. It's a love issue. Also, their third word is willing. 2 Corinthians 8:12, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of the, I'm giving the wrong one. Willing. There must first be a willing mind. If you don't want to give, don't give. Do you think the Lord needs your money? You know, he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money. And he doesn't need anything from me. He doesn't need anything from you. There must be a willing mind. You must want to give. It's accepted according to what a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Here's the fourth scriptural word. First, there's grace, love, willing. Here's the fourth word, proportion. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Where's tithing come in? It doesn't. It doesn't. Let me repeat that. It doesn't. You give as God has prospered you. That's the rule of giving. We give as God has prospered us. And then the next Bible word with regard to giving is everyone. Let everyone lay by him in store. Don't think, well, the people with money can give. No, you give. Don't think, well, I'm in a tight place right now. No, give. Let everyone give in proportion as God has blessed him. And then the sixth word is bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, liberally, generously, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, he that soweth bountifully, generously, shall reap bountifully. That's the way to give. And then I love this seventh scriptural word with regard to giving, cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity because it's a duty, for God loveth a, what? Cheerful giver. There's joy in giving. It's a blessing. And then, here's an important word, as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not to men. Listen, we're not giving to pay bills. When we give, we're giving as unto the Lord. That's the purpose in giving, not any other reason than that. As unto the Lord. And then, the writer to the Hebrews said, forget not, but to do good and to communicate, to give, forget not. This ought to be uppermost in our minds. To give, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now remember, the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Those are the words of the Lord. And what a blessing it is to give. And the Lord did take notice how they gave. That's pointed out. He sat there by the treasury and beheld how they gave as they cast their gifts into the treasury. I love those words, don't you? It's a grace, love, willingly, as God has prospered, everyone bountifully, cheerfully, as unto the Lord, and forget not. Those are great words with regard, they're scriptural words, with regard to giving. What a blessing of grace. Now, let's look at our text again. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Now, this widow cast in two mites. That's not going to do anybody any good. And many cast in much. Now, let's consider the small amount and the large amount. Would you be critical of these people who cast in much? Probably. That's sinful. It's evil, but it's just so easy to be critical of people. What are they trying to do? Who are they trying to impress? We could be critical of the poor widow. Well, what'd she lose? Two mites? It's not like she gave that much in the first place. I mean, she had pretty much nothing anyway, and there wasn't any great generosity or sacrifice in that gift. That's the way we would think. Yeah, we could easily be critical of both people, but let's think of these people who, out of their abundance, cast in much. Now, I asked Siri, who are the five richest people in the world? And I knew Bill Gates was one of them, but I can't say that I knew the rest of them. There's a guy that owns Tesla, the electronic cars, Elon Musk. He's the richest man in the world. He has almost $200 billion. There's Mark, somebody give me his last name. Yeah, the Facebook guy, yeah. He's real rich. He's got like $150 billion. There's Warren Buffett. There's Bill Gates. And there's the guy that owns Amazon, Jeff. Does anybody know how to pronounce his name? Bezos. Okay. All of those guys have over $100 billion. Now, let's say one of those guys wrote out a check to the Todd's Road Grace Church for $1 million. Man, can you imagine what good could be done with that? $1 million? That's a lot of money. But if you take, let's just say, and some of these guys are twice more rich than this, but that would be like somebody numerically, if you have that much money, giving $1 million would be the same thing as somebody with $100,000 giving $1. Same thing. Out of their abundance, they gave much. But this woman, after she gave, had nothing left. Now these rich men who perhaps gave $1 million, man, they had a whole lot left. They had a whole lot left. They didn't even miss what they gave. But this woman gave everything, and in this we have the true nature of faith. And this is what this is about. This is not really about giving. Giving's involved, there's no doubt about it. But this is about saving faith. Now, the first thing that I would notice about this widow whom the Lord commended, she gave not out of her abundance, not out of the meagerness of what she had, but she gave out of her want. How much do you have when you're in want? Nothing. Nothing. You remember the prodigal that went and he would fain have, he began to be in want, the scripture says. He began to be in want, same word. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine, and no man gave to him in his want. He had nothing. Nothing. All have sinned. Here's the way the word is used. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word has come short. Now, in this thing of coming short of the glory of God, how short? Do you have anything that could be equal to or be accepted by the glory of God? You have nothing. Absolutely nothing. This woman gave out of her want, out of her need. She was destitute. How can you give when you have nothing? Well, that's the only way you can believe. When you have nothing. Nothing to contribute. No good works. No experience. You can't believe until you believe from the place of nothing. What do you have right now? Nothing but Christ. That's a good place to be. You don't want to be anywhere else. This woman gave out of her nothingness. Now, the only way you can believe is when you have nothing, when you're poor and needy. You see, it's impossible to believe that Christ is all if you have anything. If you have anything that could recommend you to God, if you have anything that you look to and think, well, that counts for something. Something I did in my past, something I intend to do, something. If you have anything that gives you any hope that maybe God's had favor toward you and you're saved, if you have anything that comes from you, you cannot trust Jesus Christ as all. It is impossible. This woman gave out of her want. You only trust him when he's all you have. You can't enter the straight gate if you have anything other than Christ. You can't walk along the narrow way if you have anything other than Christ. The only way you can get through and the only way you can walk this narrow road is if all you have as your acceptance before God, as your hope, is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And that's the way it is right now. That's the way it is right now. Not that's the way you felt when you were first saved. I'm talking about right now. You never leave that position. The only thing that she had to give came from nothing. Is that you? The only thing she had to give came from her nothingness. And the Lord said that she gave more than they all. Now, if you have anything, you can't believe on Christ. Anything you've done or anything you intend to do. If you have anything, you're not like this poor widow. She gave out of her utter and complete destitution her want. Now, in casting in these two mites, we see the act of faith itself. This thing of her casting this money into the treasury. Now, it's very much like putting money in the bank. You trust the bank to take care of it. Now, Aubrey's tried to get us to take pictures of our checks and they go straight to the bank. No way, man. I'm not doing that. I don't know that it's getting in there that way. I go to the bank physically and I put it there. They've got it. But after that, it's totally up to them to take care of it. I have no bearing there. It's totally up to them. I can't keep it. I can't. If they lose it all, I'm a loser. If they keep it, I'm in good shape. The point is, Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have, what's the word? Committed. And the word is literally deposited.
I've deposited the entire hope of my salvation to him. I have nothing else. That's what this woman did. She threw her two mites, as weak and insignificant as it was, she put it all to him. And that's, you know, like when I put money in the bank, I thought, you know, what if the bank fails? Well, I lose everything. But as to whether or not my money's safe, it's up to the bank. As to whether or not I'll be saved, it is up to the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. This act of throwing the two mites in the treasury is the work of faith. Now here's where my hope is. It is finished. And if there's anything else required, I won't be saved. That is my only hope. Thank God nothing else is needed. I love to think of the words of the thief. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He didn't say, Lord, remember what I've done. He didn't say, Lord, forget about what I've done. He didn't say, Lord, think of the things that I intend to do if I could. I mean, you know, I'm nailed to a cross here, and there's a lot of things. I would give. I would be baptized. I'd do all the, I mean, take for into the account that there's things I can't do because of my present. No, Lord, remember me when you come as a mighty reigning king. All I need is for you to remember me. Now, what's that mean? He'll say regarding me, I died for him. He's mine. Will anything else need to be said? Will anything have to be brought up about me? No. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, the next thing that I would notice is that she didn't have anything left. She didn't have a plan B. She didn't have any money hiding away in a Swiss bank account. She didn't have any secret reserves. She was left with nothing but being completely dependent upon charity. She had nothing. And she was completely 100% dependent upon the charity of the Lord toward her. She's a charity case. You know, I was thinking when I was, if there's anybody that's a pure charity case, it's me. It's me. Now, I know some people would argue with that and say, no, it's me. Well, as a matter of fact, every believer here would say, that's me. She had nothing left to trust in, nothing from her past, no works, no experience. She had nothing in her future that she could hope she would do. You know, the two biggest false refuges I know of are yesterday and tomorrow. Looking back to yesterday at some kind of experience, I must be saved because fill in the blank. That's a false refuge. And tomorrow, I'll get it straightened up tomorrow. That's a false refuge. It works. That's all that is. She had nothing but charity. Now, what I thought of was the leper. How did he approach the Lord? Lord, I'm going to do things that are going to make me clean. Lord, I'm going to accept your offer of making me clean. I'm going to accept it. That's so offensive. It's so ridiculous to think in terms like that. Drew, I appreciated when you wanted to get rid of that word offer. I hate the word offer in the gospel, and yet when I sing it, I offer, you know, I thought, what? He told us not to do it, you know, I did it. But the gospel's not an offer. It's not an offer that you accept. That leper, what did he say? Lord, my salvation, my being clean is utterly and completely in your hands. It's up to you as to what's going to take place with me. It's up to you as to whether or not I'll be saved. You can justly leave me to myself and I'll be damned forever. Whatever you do is right, but I am in your hand. I don't have any control of this. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. She cast in all she had. All she had to live on, her living. She became completely dependent. All her living, it was gone. She was in a place of complete and utter dependence. And the person I thought of when I thought of what that was like was Mephibosheth. I'm so thankful for that man, Mephibosheth. David, from the position of utter power, said, is there any of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God to for Jonathan's sake? God the Father says, is there any of the house of Adam that I can show my kindness to for Christ's sake? Well, the servant, Zeb or Ziba, however you pronounce his name, he said, well, there's one. But he's worthless. He's lame in both of his feet, not just one of his feet. He can't just limp. He's lame in both of his feet. He can't work for you. He can't fight for you. He can't do anything but be carried. Be completely dependent upon your charity in every way. Now that is where this woman was. She cast in all her living, and she was completely 100% dependent upon charity. Now, I wish I could say this as it ought to be said, but I am so completely dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything in my salvation. I'm so dependent on Him to be my surety, to take full responsibility for my salvation before I'm even around. I have to have that. I have to have God looking to Him for everything for me. I mean everything. If there's anything left out, I'm toast. I'm not going to make it. My only hope is that everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. Righteousness, sin payment, new heart, He does it all. I am completely dependent upon His law keeping and His perfect life as my personal righteousness before God. I'm completely dependent upon His death for my sin payment. I can't pay anything. I'm completely dependent upon His resurrection as my justification before God. That God said because of what Christ did, He said concerning me, He's justified. Wholly because of what Jesus Christ did without any reference to anything I've done. I'm so dependent upon Him to give me life from the dead. To give me a new heart. To cause me to believe and see my need of Him. I am left completely with this, Him bringing me to the Father. Not me coming behind Him or me coming alongside of Him, but me being in Him. No man cometh to the Father but by I'm his charity case. How about you? I'm his charity case. And you know what the Lord said with regard to this woman? He said in verse 43, "This poor widow hath cast more in than they all, which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want, her lack, her need, her poverty, did cast in all that she had, even all her living." My living is what he does for me. I don't have a thing. Now, it was said of Enoch that he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, the Lord was pleased with this widow, what she did. This is faith. This is the subject here. It's not how much is left in your account after you give your gift. This is faith. The Lord was pleased with this. Well, the Lord was pleased with Enoch. He had this testimony, and this is God's testimony, that he pleased God, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the only place I find any safety is having nothing, and Christ being all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that by your grace we might be like this widow, poor and needy, with nothing, looking to Christ only, and being completely dependent upon your charity for Christ's sake toward us. Grant us saving faith for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.